Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. We're on with the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday, and we got started off with our girlfriend Vivian and her socially conscious segment, and we talked about the migrants. Yep, we talked about the migrants. They're going to move forward on their $53 million plan to feed the migrants off their food card. Yes, 115 families will be receiving $350 a week for 6 weeks. Now, that's $2,100 a month. Now, people here in the United States, more targeted in New York City, are not receiving that kind of money. Yeah. So how does this work? How does this work? Well, needless to say, not only were the members of the Due Time crew not happy, but I can guarantee you, I don't think there's too many New Yorkers happy to know that no matter how much you may need, if you do not qualify for this food program here, what we know as SNAP, you don't get $5, much less $350 a week. Now, the concept is they're living in hotels, and, you know, this is for a family of, let's say, two adults and two children. But still, that's a lot of money and food to go through. Now, there's some people who are concerned about the waste. Now, okay, that's a secondary thought for me. I don't know about the other people, but I don't hear the average person complaining about waste. Pretty much, I've been hearing about just the unfair tactics of the city of New York in giving these people, you know, free food and everyone else must, quote unquote, qualify. So, I don't know. It's going forward. We'll see how this goes. Well, Vivian also told us that did not know that the Dollar Tree will be even less of a dollar in the near future, as we went from $1 to $1.25, and going forward, it's going to be $1.50 to $7. Yeah, them kind of Dollar Tree has $7 stuff in it. Well, Dollar Tree and Family Dollar will also be coming more sparse. Yep, you're going to have a little harder time finding a Dollar Tree in your area. So let's see how that goes for you. Well, those are just a couple of things that Vivian talked about yesterday. Well, our main topic was about a woman who decided to go through her boyfriend's phone. Now, do I need to put a pause there? Because we all know how much of a bad idea and how unsuccessful most women are when, you know, it comes to this thing here of going through your man's phone. Well, she got a little more than what she bargained for because she thought that maybe she was going to find out that he was cheating. Well, to be honest, she ended up saying she would have rather find out he was cheating because she found out that he thought she wasn't attractive. Yeah, she saw that she had that he had corresponded with his boy and told the friend that he did not think she was pretty. And that really, really devastated her. Yeah. She said, you know, she would have rather found out that he was seeing someone. She didn't know how to handle it. So that's what we're talking about. Some of the things that men talk about with their boys. Well, things that they talk about. She wants to spend, like, all of her time with him, and that makes him like her less. Now, that's an interesting twist to me, because just because I want to spend more time with you makes you like me less. Is that how this is happening? What does that have to do with you liking me? I don't see the connection. Now, you know, that may mean that, you know, you may not want to be around me as much as I may want to be around you, but what does that have to do with you liking me less? That's the part that I was a little thrown about. What else? Let's see, what else does he talk about to his boys? This is definitely one of them. She won't shut up. Can I please get some peace and quiet, ladies? Ladies, ladies, don't do too much talking. Yeah, that's a typical one. That is, I have to say, that is a typical one. I don't know. Do you talk to your man too much? I don't know. Because women do tend to talk a lot. And, you know, they don't want to always hear it, ladies. And they don't know how to tell you. They don't know how to tell you. They don't know how to tell you. What else do they talk about? This is definitely one. She always wants me to talk about my emotions. Yeah, men don't normally like to talk about their emotions. And I think that we need to just leave it at assuring them that we're a safe place for them to talk. All right, don't try to push it. Don't press it. You know, don't go above and beyond to try to get them to talk. They pretty much know. I'm going to be honest. A man who feels like he has a good woman, he pretty much knows when it's a safe place for him to speak, for him to open up. And just periodically assure him that it's okay. You know, don't be getting all twisted where you got to give a speech about it. Just let him know, you know, that everything is good. You know, I'm always here to listen, and leave it. Okay, don't keep asking him what's wrong and, you know, why you don't talk to me and who are you talking to. Stop. Can I tell you something? Why you going through all of that? He's thinking of reasons why he doesn't want to talk to you. Believe me. They tell me. I know it. 57 years and taught me a couple of things. Yeah. So if he's already feeling like you talk too much, and that's very easy for men to feel. I just want you to know that. Right, and that's whether you talk a lot or not. That's just them. So if they're already feeling that way, then you surely don't want to give them a reason to feel that way, right? Right. See, I knew you would catch on. All right? So, you know, just, again, reassure them that, you know, I'm here. I know, you know, things get a little rough. You may feel like, you know, you want to vent. You may even feel like you want to drop a tear or two. We good. Because it's good to be his friend, you know, and be ready. Be ready for whatever it is he wants to talk about. You know, sometimes he finally does talk and you end up being the last person he should have spoken to. Because you need to understand this and you need to understand that. You know, you really don't have to understand all the time. Not down to every molecule. No. Just, you know, be good. Be good. That's all you got to do. Is just be good. All right? All right. Well, that's how we spent our Wednesday. And it was a wild Wednesday. So, you know, just in case you need some, you know, refresher, well, just in case you missed it, go back and listen. It was good. It was a good conversation. Okay? All right. Well, today is Therapeutic Thursday. Therapeutic Thursday. The day we discuss our health. So, you know, let's get this morning started as we discuss our mental health, emotional health, health, physical health, spiritual health, financial health, whatever health we're going to be falling on today. Come on. Let's go. Get that healthy breakfast. Come on, let's go. Tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
People with AIDS are people. They are families. They are mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors, just people. But if through my work I am able to save one life, to bring one family closer together in their time of need, then I will consider my work well done.
You know, despite remarkable progress in the fight against HIV, women account for almost 20% of the estimated 45,000 new HIV infections in the United States each year. African American women account for an alarming 62% of new HIV infections. We must continue to protect ourselves. If you are sexually active, no matter what your age, please practice safer sex and get tested for HIV. To get the facts about HIV, visit ageisnotacondom.org.
I was talking to the mute button. Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Therapeutic Thursday. Yeah, the day we discuss our health. Okay? And are you ready to go on this journey? Are you ready to go on this journey? On our health journey, on our health conversation, you know how we do on Thursday mornings. We start off with our health tip. Now, there's a warning that is out here, and it's about the pain relief cream. Now, they say they're expressly talking to people who get those laser hair removals, those tattoos, those piercings, because they're the ones that primarily use this particular or these particular over-the-counter topical pain relief products. So, let's see. I'm going to get the name. All right. So, the products they say in question are TKTX Numb Maximum Strength Pain Reliever, TKTX During Procedure Numbing Gel, and J Pain Cream. They're talking about Numb Skin Lidocaine Numbing Cream, Signature Tattoo Numbing Cream, and Miracle Numb Spray, Painless Tattoo Numbing Cream, and Painless Tattoo Numbing Spray, New and Improved Blue Gel, Superior Super Juice, Premium Pro Plus, 5-Star, Lidocaine, and Maximum Zone 1. Well, these are on the list because they say that these particular items have an overkill of, what do you call it, lidocaine? Yeah. And, you know, lidocaine, that's what you get, like, to numb the pain. That's why those products have those names, like, so weird. But they say they have some serious side effects, irregular heartbeat, seizures, and breathing issues. They say if it's used on large portions of skin, it can irritate your skin or cause serious injury. They say that any medication that's like topical cream that we just named that has more than 4% of lidocaine is dangerous. So make sure you check to see if your product has more than 4% lidocaine or whatever they may be using. Ask. Don't be ashamed or afraid to ask. This is your health we're talking about. And what I've come to realize is a lot of these, like surgeons or people like this, tattoo artists and stuff like that, they don't know. They don't have any idea that this stuff is being made like this. Nope. They don't know that if it's out, it has more, if it has more than 4% lidocaine, you know, a dentist may not know if that's what, you know, they're using. They may not know. They may not know. You may want to hold them responsible later, but it don't mean that they're going to know. So, you know what? We've been getting a lot of information, meaning the public. Now, it might be after the fact. We're getting a lot of information. Unfortunately, we don't get it early enough. But regardless of that, you do find out. So, you know what? Our tip of be proactive, get proactive, do your research, because these, by the time we find out about this stuff, we dead. We're going through a lot. Some of this stuff is fatal. By the time, you know, people find out, it's really too late. It's really too late. I've got another health tip for the story. It's kind of mixed. I found this very interesting yesterday, and I've got to see if we can get our Dr. Gordon back on with us. So Halle Berry, you may have seen this article already, because after I found the article, I then started seeing this article pop up all over the place. So Halle Berry is now, she's come forward to tell everybody about her experience, and I'm glad. You know, sometimes we're a little too private and we don't bless everybody else with learning from, you know, our mistakes or what we've gone through. So she says that at one point she was experiencing some real interesting stuff. She says she's in great shape. She's healthy. She's managed her insulin issue and her diabetes since she was 20 years old. So, you know, she's really doing good. And when we look at her, she looks really good. She really does. So she says she, and when she was 54, she says she met the man of her dreams and started dating him. She said they had sex. And one particular time after they finished having sex, she said she was experiencing this extreme pain after the intercourse. So she said she went to the doctor, and she told the doctor that she felt like she had razor blades in her vagina. So she says the gynecologist, you know, she's panicking. And I guess so. You feel like you got razor blades in your vagina, that's something to be panicking about. So she said that she shared this with her gynecologist, and he told her that, ooh, you have the worst case of herpes I've ever seen. And she was like, herpes? She was a little skeptical about believing it. So she said she immediately went to this guy, talked to him about it, and they both tested negative for herpes. So So she said she then somehow ended up finding out that she had started perimenopause and dryness, and what she was experiencing, that pain, that was a symptom of perimenopause. Now, we had Dr. Gordon on talk to us about the different phases of menopause, and we got to get him back because we got to bring this, we got to bring him this conversation. And again, didn't I just say the doctors don't know sometimes? I just got finished saying that. Because they don't know you experience these things. You know, they do all this testing on these products and things like that, but it's not until more people begin to use it and your body responds in a certain way. And she says that, you know, dryness is a part of the transitional period. That burning is a part of the transitional period of the perimenopause. And he had no idea what was going on in the doctor, so he could not help to prepare her. And she said at that point she realized she needed to use her platform to get this information out. So she said she started talking about it openly. She said she doesn't, you know, she didn't feel embarrassed. And she shouldn't. She said she shouldn't. She said she's learning more and more about this menopause thing. She said she was like real vain and didn't realize that she was going to go through this so early. Because, again, she's looking at her particular body and her health level. And, listen, we don't know. We have no idea how our body is going to treat us. We don't know how our body is going to respond to things. So, you know, I'm glad she did come out with it, you know, because just with the fact that her vagina was burning and burning and burning and felt like she had razors in her vagina, that in and of itself could have kept her quiet. I don't want to talk about that. She has every right. She doesn't want to talk about it. But thank God, because we haven't heard of it. I haven't heard of it. And she and I are the same age. So, you know, I haven't heard of it. She hasn't heard of it. And a lot of women probably haven't heard of this. But the scarier part, I don't know about her. It would have been my gynecologist. Mo, the best thing you've got to say is this is the worst case of herpes I've ever seen. And it ended up not being herpes. How about, I don't know what it is. Let's do some testing and find out. Because I feel like if that's the first place you went and it ended up being perimenopause, then you're the last person I ever need looking at me again. Because how could you help to take me forward? Or does that mean you're going to miss a diagnosis? Nah. I shall pass. We'll be getting me a new gynecologist. Especially women, you know, because you want to make sure, you know, like men could get a gynecologist. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But that's scary. To me, that's more scary than the razors in my vagina. Ladies, before you panic, before you take the final word of your doctor, especially for something like this, go get yourself checked out. Because she said she was on the serious warpath to this musician, because that's who he was at the time. She was dating some Grammy-winning musician. And when they were told, or she was told that she had herpes, who do you think she went for? So, let's double-check these things, ladies. Let's double-check. Okay? All righty. What are we talking about today? I've got a lot of stuff, but I don't know. I feel like it's a bunch of nothing. Let's talk about, what are we coming up here? Okay, well, you know what? Let's talk about this thing. You know, listen, if you're a little too squeamish, close your ears. You know, we get those kind of articles we're talking about. So out in Mississippi, M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I, out in Mississippi, you've got this man who rented a room at the Marriott Hotel and said that, now I'm going to start with this piece of the article first. He said he noticed that the hotel door did not lock properly. So he says the self-closing and self-locking door to his room was not functioning properly, and the door did not properly latch or lock. Okay, so let's start there. So which one of us who are listening to his due time with Pastor Steph now, go to the Marriott or any other hotel, notice that the self-closing and self-locking door to your room functioning properly, and your door won't properly latch or lock, and you go into bed. They help me. Help me, because, see, I don't go to sleep until all the locks are on, especially that one that prevents the door from coming open all the way if somebody on the outside should have a key and try to get in. That's the first thing you do. You lock the door, you put that big old latch across the door, and then you get in the bed. Hold on. Somebody said they got some hearing problems with me. So let me make this adjustment. I want you to hear everything. I got this. All righty. We don't want you to miss anything that I'm talking about here. All right. Thank you. All right, so he goes to bed, and this is how he tells the story. He goes to bed, and he wakes up to some strange man giving him all the pleasures. Now, he said he woke up to somebody sexually assaulting him. It was a man who was sexually assaulting him. He said he howled in terror and lashed out and punched this particular guy, who then grabbed his wallet and phone and took off. Now, he then makes the claim with the hotel that, you know, hey, this person got through an unlocked door in the parking garage and was never stopped. Well, how you know how he got into the building? All you know is how he got into your bedroom, which you were the stupid one
because you didn't go and complain when your door wouldn't close. So he is now suing Marriott for $160 million. Yep, I got it right. $160 million. I want to see how much this $160 million he's going to get, because I don't get it. I don't get it. He would have to be held some type of responsible for not telling the people, maintenance, front desk person, somebody, that this door did not work. Because this is exactly why you want your door to work. Now, he could have been killed. He could have been hurt. But somebody going to take your clothes off and do all of this, and you going to get $160 million for that? Oh, my. You know what? I tell you. This here, these people something else. They are something else. They are something else. Oh, what else are we talking about? Listen, if you go to the thing, the hotel, make sure your door locks. If it doesn't lock, then that's the first thing you need to be doing. Don't even sit down. Don't even sit down. Go and let them know that this room is not properly functioning. And if the locks ain't working, it's not properly functioning. All righty? All right, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Let me see. I don't know if I want to talk about that. I don't know. All right, y'all got to give me a second. I don't know what I'm feeling in the mornings. I get a whole bunch of stories, and I don't know what I want to talk about. Well, here's an interesting one. For those of you who may like to give to, you know, various GoFundMes, because your heart is in the, you know, in that place, there's a story of two people. This is really weird. There was a GoFundMe started for a woman and her children because the woman is accused of purchasing some firearms. Okay, no, here we go. Her boyfriend purchased some firearms. I'm sorry. I'm all twisted this morning. So her boyfriend wanted to purchase firearms. He couldn't purchase the firearms, so she purchased the firearms for him. And they call this straw purchasing. I never heard of this phrase before, but they call it straw purchasing. So she went and purchased the firearms for him. He ended up using the firearms, and he went to jail, and she now is going back and forth to jail, and the family has no money. So she and her children have no money. So somebody in her family started a GoFundMe for her and her children, and they termed it. It was her sister. And the sister said, in the reason for the GoFundMe, to help my sister and children get back on their feet. They need a place to stay, and they have to replace their transportation and start healing from this whole trauma via therapy. So somebody got a whiff that the sister who this fundraiser is for, she is going back and forth to court, And that's why she can't get herself together, because she's going back and forth to court about this this particular charge of buying his boyfriend the guns. So they were like, wait a minute. So we're supposed to help her who's going back and forth to court because she bought the boyfriend the guns. And the story of him and the guns. So they say 7 kids were in the house with him and the girlfriend. And he barricaded himself in the house. He ended up killing 2 people. And those were like firemen or paramedics or something to that effect. And they say 2 of the children were his, that they have together. 2 of the children in the house were children that he had from another relationship before her. This was one big mess. One big mess. So the sister put this GoFundMe out, and the people got mad. Well, yeah, because they're like, well, what, this is her. This part of this is all her fault. So we're going to take money and give her and take care of her. So what they did was they ended up, the person who was in charge of the GoFundMe, they ended up rearranging it and rewording it so that it'll be used for the children. And they put some type of stipulation that no matter what, it can't be used on her. So my question is, well, if she's not in jail, she still has the children. Now, this is the crazy part, because we've seen them take away children for other reasons. She's still at home with the kids fighting the case. So how are the children supposed to get the money if not for the mama? Because they're not saying they're giving the money, at least not in this article, they're not saying that they're giving the money to someone else. So in other words, they're not giving the money to the sister or another family member. They're saying that they're going to give the kids the money, and they just want to make sure that the money goes to the kids. Now, the people are also in an uproar because they're saying, well, wait a minute. How do you have a GoFundMe and you're not giving to the people, to like the paramedics or the firefighter, whoever it was that the guy killed? Why are you not giving it to their families? Why are you giving it to the kids of this woman and this murderer? This is twisted. This is twisted, and this is what happens with some of these GoFundMes. You don't really know what is going on with this money. Well, at least the woman didn't lie. She didn't, you know, make it seem as though it was for someone else. She did say it was intended for her sister. But you know what? That shows you how twisted family members are. I'm not collecting no money or putting no GoFundMe out for my sister who helped the guy go buy the firearm. They say she's the one that went to the gun stores and purchased and picked up 5 firearms between September and January. And 2 of the firearms were used in February. And they're saying something about some teen homicides. Now, I don't know. I don't see none of that here, but that's how they end this article. But, yeah, that's where these people money going. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Other people are saying let the CPS, you know, let the Department of Children's Services, whatever they're calling it in that particular, you know, state, let them take care of the children and give the money to the the victims' families, and other people are saying, well, why should the children suffer? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, y'all tell me what y'all think. I would say go ahead and collect the money because mama going to jail. They're going to need this money later. Go ahead and run the money up, collect the money, let them manage. How they gonna, family, y'all get together and take care of the kids. Excuse me. Y'all get together, take care of the children, and after the money is collected, then, hey, you go and you give the money to the kids. When the mother goes to jail, because father already in jail, they only got him. So I don't know. That's my thought. That's my thought. My thought is do it like that, and that way you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with that plan. All right. I don't know what else we talking about before we get this due time crew on. Let's see. What about the mother and the daughter in the Bronx? I've been reading about this since Monday and didn't get a chance to talk about it. But there's this story of this mother and daughter in the Bronx. Now, I'm going to start this from the back end. They say that not that long ago, back in August, this young lady, 26 years old, she lost her child. Her child passed away. And the family members are saying that she's been in a decline ever since. You know, she lost the baby. The baby, you know, died. And she's been really kind of, like, unstable. Excuse me. So somehow or another, mom got her in a mental, you know, facility, and she was there for a little while. She didn't stay for long, and she ended up coming out. Now, it doesn't say whether they live together or whatever. I would assume that they're living together. Well, 46-year-old mom ended up being bludgeoned to death by this daughter with a pot. Yeah, they say they beat her. They beat her, and she beat her in the head, in the face, with the pot, and she suffered some severe trauma. And by the time the paramedics got there, from the daughter calling, the daughter was the one who called and told 911. She said, "I just killed my mom." And after emergency services got there, they found the mother dead, unresponsive at the time. And again, she had been in some facility. They discharged her recently from a psychiatric ward. They said she was still exhibiting signs of distress, that she had been claiming she was hearing voices, and she was speaking in a man's voice. You know, you don't know how these traumas in our life will manifest, you know, into some serious, serious problems. And the mother had already told some of the family members that she was a little afraid. She was a little afraid because of the way the daughter had been acting, and she didn't know whether, you know, the daughter was going to cause her any harm. Well, unfortunately, that's what ended up happening. So, you know, just, I don't know, we can't ignore this stuff. We got to pay attention to these things and not turn your back, if you will. You know, that was really sad. Really, really sad. Well, I only got one due time member on with me, so I guess we gonna get to talking and see how this goes. I don't ever worry about what, you know, who I'm left with. God always has, you know, some good stuff coming out of it. So let's say good morning to our girl, Shanties. Good morning, Shanties.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I'm okay. So, we got some weird stories this morning. And it's only you and I. So you and I are going to hang out because I don't know if they want to listen to Pastor Steph for 2 hours. let's talk about this GoFundMe. Let's talk about this GoFundMe. But before we get to the GoFundMe, let's talk about the hotel stay. Now, when we go to a hotel, when you go to a hotel, you know, there's the man who says, hey, you know, he noticed, let me get this right. His lawsuit says that the self-closing and self-locking door was not functioning properly, and the door did not properly latch or lock. Now, are you going to stay in a room where the doors don't lock?
Absolutely not, because then where's your security? Whether I'm in there and the door doesn't lock or whether I leave and the door doesn't lock, I'm not secure. My things are not secure. I don't want to be in there. How many times have you been in a hotel room and housekeeping just tries to come in? And because you don't have, you know, like the extra latch on the door, that's the only reason why they haven't been able to just walk right on in. So now you leave your hotel room. All your things are in there. So you didn't check the door before you left? Because I don't care whether I've been in a hotel, whether I've been on a cruise ship, anything. Anytime I walk out the room and the door, like, if I don't pull it closed, it's closed behind me. I always check to make sure it's locked. So what were you not doing? No. Before you do anything, you'd have to get that checked out at the front desk. If they can't fix that door, then they need to move you to another room where the locks work. But, yeah, no, I don't know how that works.
Now, let me ask you this. Is it as cut and dry to say, I wouldn't give this person any money from this lawsuit because he or she simply never told that, you know, this door did not properly lock?
No, because now what if you're talking about an elderly person where, yeah, you should check, but, you know, a lot of times with elderly people, they don't take all of the necessary precautions like a younger person would, you know, because it could be they're figuring it's a slam lock, which it's supposed to be. So I'm figuring I'm just walking out the room and it's going to lock, and I'm anticipating having to use my key to come back up in here, you know, only because, like you explained earlier, and that's how I am, like, I don't feel comfortable unless I could be laying down in my house. If it comes to mind, like, oh, dag, I ain't checked the front door the fifth time, I'm getting up. And I'm making the trip back to the door to make sure, you know, a lot of elderly people, they don't do that. So I don't believe it's that cut and dry to just say, well, you should have checked, because it's still negligent on the hotel.
Okay. I got a question. What if it's a setup? Now, here's what makes me scratch my head. So he then says that he argues the hotel did not have adequate security measures, claiming the suspect got in through an unlocked door in the parking garage and was never stopped. How do you know how he got in?
Right. This is a hotel. You know all the exits? You know, or
so
this
is,
I'm just envisioning, like, being in Atlantic City where there are so many different entrances and exits to the hotel. How do you know that?
So, and this is why I say, is it as cut and dry as to say, you know, you're not getting any money? Because how do I know this wasn't a setup? How do I know you and your friend did not? So how do I know this really happened? Now, I will say, you know, I'm not going to give that piece. But how do you know this is not a plan between you and your friend? Stranger things have happened, and now this person supposedly got in your room, sexually assaulted you, and now you're suing. How do you know that this is even true? How do you know that this wasn't planned? When you said all of this, what?
Mm-hmm. You don't. That's why there needs to be some type of, like, real investigation. I know it's going to take time away from what this one has to do and that one. But because you don't know, and because he said something as ridiculous as that, you're really going to have to investigate this. Because that comment is sus. Like, oh, he came in through that. How do you know that? How many times have you been here that you know the ins and outs of this place that you could say that as if it was your home?
Absolutely. And how do you know, at what point did you find out that the garage door, how do you know the garage door didn't work? When did you find that out? So did you find out that the parking garage door was left unlocked? You went upstairs and your door didn't lock, and all of this you knew before you laid down and went to sleep for the night. I'm sorry, I'm not the judge on this case. This is not, you don't want me on this case, because that's just, see, to me, he put his foot in his mouth. You didn't went too far. All righty, so now you have this GoFundMe, and this is a case where there's a woman who she straw purchased some firearms. And again, for those who may be joining us right now, you know, the straw purchasing means that you went and purchased this for someone. So she went around to the different places where they sold guns. She got guns for this man. He ended up somehow, I don't know what the plan was, but he ended up barricading himself inside of this home, open fired, killing two officers. Yes, the two officers and a firefighter, paramedic. And now he's in jail. She's fighting the case for being the straw purchaser, going back and forth to court. And her sister has opened up a GoFundMe so that her sister and her children could be taken care of. And the people are, you know, the exact words, to help my sister and children get back on their feet. And their complaints that, you know what, she's fighting this case. Why should she get any money? There's argument that why should even the children get any money, and the money that's collected goes to the victim, the victim's family, the people that he murdered. And they're trying to reroute they changed the wording, and they're rerouting the money to give to the children. How do you think this needs to be handled?
I'm not. You wanted to be an idiot and get a gun for your man. I am not helping you. If I really did not have it financially to assist with your children, and it really came down to where I had to do a GoFundMe, I'm putting all your business out there. I need help, even if I don't go into detail with, like, what you did. But I'm not going to make it seem like I'm helping you. I'm going to make it very clear. I'm helping I need the funds for my nieces, my nephews, or whatever they are. Not for the parents. Because you wanted to be stupid and help. And this is like, we have to stop as women. Stop being a sucker for these men. You decide you want to hold up a store or kill somebody or rob somebody, whatever. Why am I going to now be an accomplice for it? And then I'm not getting enough out of this. So what was the benefit of me going to purchase this weapon for you as if you were going to go rob a bank and I was going to get some money up out of this? That was dumb. So just because of that alone, I'm not helping you. Just because you were stupid, I'm not helping you. I'm going to make it very clear that this goes to that. I understand the feedback of, well, you need to raise money for the victim's families. Absolutely. They didn't ask to die, and because of a dumb reason. You know, so I understand that, but as a sister, I have two sisters. I do not see myself, oh, well, you know, I need, no. My niece, I really don't have, and I'm mad I even got to do this, but I'm desperate at this point because my niece, she does need, you know, help. I need help taking care of her. And I agree with you kind of stuff because I saw a GoFundMe a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't anything that looked crazy, but the thought just came to mind, like, I don't know what this is really going towards. And it's sad because now you have to question everything. And this story proves you have to question everything that people put out there because people start GoFundMe for the most silliest reasons. They really don't need it. They can get up and get a job, but let me just start a GoFundMe. It's just crazy. But no, I would not. I would have to make it very clear this is not for their parents. This is solely for the children. And if someone asks and it really had to get to where I had to tell them, I would probably have to spill the beans and let them know because I'm not supporting you. I cannot support you.
All righty. Let's see what your girl Vivian has to say. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor Seth?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
All righty. So, we've got this hotel room lawsuit, and, you know, he claims that the garage doors weren't locked, and that's how the perpetrator got into the building. He claims that the guy got into his hotel room because his doors wouldn't lock properly. And I'm asking, is it as cut and dry as to say, you lose the lawsuit automatically. If you knew the garage door didn't work and you didn't tell, you knew the bedroom door, the hotel room door didn't work, and you didn't tell, this is an open and shut case. I'm sorry. That's it. Do you agree or you disagree, and why?
I think I agree. It should be automatic because, like you said, he knows way too much. He's probably the one who broke the garage door and the hotel room door. And now you trying to, I believe it was a setup. Think that because the story does not make sense, I'm not paying. This don't make no sense. So this man came into your room. He didn't rob you. He didn't beat you. But he gave you oral sex. That doesn't make any sense. The whole story doesn't make any sense. And if you knew all of this and you said nothing, then I can't say you deserved what you got, but you deserved what you got at the end of the day because you should have spoke up. Why would you lay in the room and you know the door is unlocked, you know the garage door is broken, and you said nothing? I wouldn't say he doesn't deserve anything.
Yeah, this really makes me wonder if you were a part of the plan. Really. You should have shut your mouth about the garage door. You ain't know nothing about the garage door. Okay, so I may have been negligent, and I didn't say anything about my hotel room door, but that's as far as I'm saying. Once I go to this extra piece, that automatically makes this very questionable for me. And, man, you have now compromised your entire lawsuit. The answer is absolutely not. Not doing it. All right. We've got this GoFundMe for this young, this woman and her trying to take care of her sister and, you know, her sister's kids, trying to get them back on their feet. What say you? There's a lot of pushback on this thing here. Where do you stand?
I'd say she should have kept quiet. I don't know. This whole GoFundMe stuff is just getting out of hand. People want to open up a GoFundMe for everything. And knowing what your sister did and knowing that what she did caused all these lives, I would have just kept my mouth shut and found another way to take care of these children, because even asking for money to help take care of the children is going to come out. Somebody's going to ask. Well, somebody's going to do their research the way that these people are. Somebody's going to do their research and find out that this is what your sister did, and this is why you need the money to take care of these children. So I would have just found another way. I wouldn't have said nothing. She shouldn't have started that GoFundMe.
Chatez made a statement, and she said, you know, these women need to stop being weak for these men. What say you about that?
What made her weak? That she bought the gun for the guy?
Just Shantisa's statement. Shantisa, is that what you feel made her weak?
Yes, that he was able to get her to purchase the gun to go on this tour. Because you said that, you know, she was shopping around for the weapons to get for him to use to kill the people that he killed.
I mean, I don't know the reason of why she bought it. I mean, maybe this was some type of Bonnie and Clyde kind of thing. Maybe it made her feel empowered to be a part of it. We don't know. If she knew what he was going to do and she supported it, then I don't know if it makes her weak. If he convinced her to buy it, because I just think it makes her crazy. It makes her stupid. If she felt like she was helping him to accomplish this goal, like if he didn't force her in some type of way, like coerce her to do it or manipulate her to do it, and she did it under her own free will because she wanted to be a part of it, I don't think it makes her weak. I just think it makes her psychotic.
Well, is that not weak?
No, not to me.
Now, what do you call it? You call it psychotic?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Well, okay, so here's my thing. Because she started this thing. My thing is, if I'm trying to pull up this article, because there was some part of this article that talked about the issue of her buying, her purchasing these firearms. So, there's a statement that where they're saying that they kind of said what you said. They were like, well, they didn't see her as being forced to purchase this. Like, she never claimed, that's what they're saying. She never claimed that he forced her or threatened her or the children to purchase the gun. So they say that she is accused of straw purchasing the firearms that were used, although she pled not guilty to the 11 charges. They're having a hard time because she didn't say at the same time, well, I'm pleading not guilty I'm pleading not guilty. And he, you know, she never claims that he threatened her, that if she wouldn't do it, something would happen to either her and or the children. So pretty much the prosecutors are saying this is voluntary. She didn't, there was no pushback from her. He asked her to go get the guns, and she went a shopping. Now here's the thing: he's not in jail. That's another thing. He ends up killing himself. Now, yeah, what ended up happening was they found out that he had a lifetime ban on purchasing or possessing firearms. So he, because of that, he went to her to buy the firearms. And they said that she went to two gun stores at his direction and purchased or picked up five firearms between September and January. And the two of the firearms were used in the incident. So, having said all of that, is this weakness, and I want you to weigh it. I want to hear from everybody. Is this weakness or is this, what, how did you say it, Vivian, psychotic?
Yeah.
Okay. So is this weakness or is this psychotic? I need some definition on psychotic. Help me with this, Vivian. What does psychotic mean?
So I'm pretty sure you look it up. I can't look it up right now.
I definitely am. I'm way ahead of you, girl.
No, but wait. You using the word. What? How do you term it where you're making a distinction between, I don't think she's weak, I think she's psychotic. So how are you, that's what I'm asking. I'm asking for some clarification from you. Because, see, I actually have a side, you know, I always pull up my little list. I have my side list for weaknesses that women exemplify for men. But if we can't get past weakness versus psychotic, we can't go there. So how are you using the word? How are you differentiating the two?
I would say psychotic is more of like a mental, and I hate to go there, but like a mental illness. Like if this is something that she's going through, like this is something that she would do or she wanted to do, or she would do, I would say. Maybe she didn't want to, but this is something that she would do herself. And since the opportunity presented itself, she wanted to be a part of it anyway because she has this mental illness. And she willingly went and did what she needed to do to help him fulfill this desire. Weakness to me is you're doing it because he manipulated you or something. But if it's free will, then I just think that she has some type of mental illness and she went about it in this way.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. Shanti's, what's your definition? You said you were pulling up the definition.
Yeah, psychotic, relating to or affected with the psychosis. Different synonyms is insane, mad. Another definition is when people lose some contact with reality. So if someone is psychotic, they've lost, they're disconnected from reality.
Okay. So having read that definition, does that help you with how you're terming her state of mind, if you will?
No, because I also pulled up the definition of weakness, and it's the state or condition of lacking strength. And you are lacking strength when you lack common sense. And that, this whole he's been banned from purchasing guns, that's one of the first things that came to mind. So you come and you accept, no one can come to me. If we're both standing outside in front of a store and someone looks at me and says, Shanti, can you go in there and buy me some chips? Why you can't go up in there? Wait, we need to have a quick conversation. Are you banned from this store? We're both standing out here. Why you can't go in there and get you some chips? Like, it's gotten that, like, what's the word? it's getting that real. That's not the word I'm looking for, but real out here nowadays, where you really have to analyze that quick everything that someone is saying and asking you to do, because you don't know what people are out here doing. So now you come to me and you ask me to buy you a gun. Why? Did someone just pistol whip you and now you feel like you need protection, or are you trying to hold up a liquor store? Why is it that you need a gun, period? And why can't you go and get this for yourself? Why do you need anybody else to go get this for you? So because now you, hold on, let's go back to the definition real quick. Because you're lacking strength in even being able to ask or care to ask the question, and it's not a concern for you, you showed a high level of weakness.
Okay, I want to throw something else into the kitty. You have the sister who gets the GoFundMe together. She designs this GoFundMe, and I'm going to go back to her wording. She originally designed the GoFundMe and asked people to donate to help my sister and children get back on their feet. Now, you want people to help your sister and her children to get back on their feet. Wouldn't you throw in this mental illness issue or, you know, something that would kind of sweeten the, you know, the appeal to say, hey, you know, my sister's been going through some mental, you know, illness. And, you know, under better, you know, at a different time in our life. I'm just, this is my words. And I'm not, you know, just paraphrasing here. Hopefully y'all get the gist. You know, my sister, you know, at a weak point, you know, she met this guy and, you know, but really this is not her. And they really need some help here. To me, I could see putting something like that. And now it doesn't mean that she would. She would. But my thing is, you try to get people to donate to your sister and her children to help get back on their feet. This is a perfect opportunity for you to mention if there's some level of mental illness or weakness. Personally,
but that
I'm not going
to the door.
Right, right.
Okay,
and for me,
yeah, that may open the door for questions.
What you mean?
So like how she said, okay, help get. I'm starting this so my sister and her kids can get back on their feet. That can mean anything. That can mean my sister lost her job. You know, it's like, oh, okay. But if I'm now saying she got hooked up with the wrong man and some mental illness, that leaves the door open for you to start asking me more questions. I don't need you asking me no questions. So I'm not going to put that up. You know what I'm saying? So you're right. You're right. But if I add anything other than that, that's going to open the door for people to now question what happened. And there's a risk that if they question it and I tell them or they get a whiff of what really happened, ain't nobody donating to this GoFundMe.
But that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. They already knew who she was. That's why I'm saying it's all this pushback, because they realize this ain't no average woman who's trying to get on her feet. On her kids, this woman is a part of this whole shooting. That's what I'm saying. They were saying, well, how you asking? That's why the GoFundMe organizer, the guy who's over everything, he had to go in and change the wording. This ain't the sister changing the wording. This is the organizer changing the wording. And he was the one who put the stipulation on it that said, wait a minute, we, you know, you can't ask, because of the people complaining, you can't ask for money for this woman who's going back and forth to court in this case. So she's the one as to why the family is messed up. So that's when the people started saying, well, wait a minute, I'm not even settled with the fact that the children should get money. The children should be taken care of by the state and let the money go to the people of the victim, the family of the victim. This victim, this is a commonly known situation. So that's why I said, you know, I agree with you 100%. I agree that You know, yeah, opening up your mouth, you will open up a can of worms. But considering that this was common knowledge when she put this out there, I would have had to make it, you know, well, okay, well, let me see how they can really, you know, make them want to give. What can I say to really make these people want to give despite the situation? It was the public who were the people who started complaining. So this is something that's not secret. So personally, I don't think it's nothing got nothing to do with no psychosis, psychotic. Listen, you weak. This man, you knew this man could not go purchase guns for himself. Whether he had a lifetime ban or whether he had a temporary ban, there was a reason why he asked you. And, you know, is this going to stand? Here's my question. Is this going to stand up in court? Well, clearly, it ain't going too well because you going back and forth. So, I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't, again, like some people in the, for the hotel lawsuit, you don't want me to be no jury or no judge on this one. Because my question would be just like Shanti's asked. When you ask, people ask me, can you go buy, you know, can you buy me some cigarettes or can you go buy liquor? Me? Why, you can't do it yourself. So, you know, maybe it is some, you know, level of she want to be the Bonnie in the Bonnie and Clyde thing, like you're saying, Vivian. But, nah, you're going to pay the price for that one, whether you mentally ill or whether you fully well and you just made the wrong choice. You're going down because this is all under the banner of weakness for me. So I don't know. Nobody out there is talking, so I guess everybody's kind of shook and stuck. I don't know, but
We have one comment from a listener, and they asked, is the sister in jail? So I clarified. And they said, well, she's a murderer also. What other reason did she purchase the weapon? It was to kill, right? So now she just did what he did. He's just the one who pulled the trigger. She got the weapon, he pulled the trigger, but they both murderers.
That's the way it seems. I don't know. Vivian, would you consider that she's a murderer also?
Absolutely. Absolutely. She played a big part in it. He wouldn't have been able to do what he did if she didn't go buy the weapons for him. Yeah, she's definitely a murderer.
All righty. So, I got a little list here. Vivian, you got a few minutes with us. They got a list of things that they're saying makes you look weak to the opposite side. So in other words, women can look weak to men and men can look weak to women. Now, it's kind of weird. Fishing for compliments. Oh, I like this one. I like this one. Vivian, let's start with you. They say fishing for compliments makes you appear weak to the opposite sex. Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree. I definitely would agree. I can't stand the person who's fishing for compliments. It just shows your insecurity, and that's a sign of weakness. I mean, that is a weakness. Your insecurity is a weakness. So I definitely would agree. Let the person come to you and compliment you, and if they ain't complimenting you, then maybe it ain't all that you think that it is.
Okay. Shanti, fishing for compliments. Do you feel that makes you look weak to the opposite sex?
Absolutely. And I used to do that as a heavy, insecure person, so I would indirectly, and I was real subtle with it. It was revealed to me. God had to show me, like, this is what you're doing. And it was like, oh, okay. Even without you always being aware of what you're doing, because there's people who just blatantly do it, and they're so obvious with it, and there's other people who are real subtle with it. I was real subtle with it. And it's like, but I really have to ask myself, do you really care about what they say? Because if they said, oh, well, I don't like your hair. Are you really going to go and change it? So why are you fishing for compliments? So yeah, it definitely shows that you're weak because you're not content. You know, if you're really the type that's going to be willing to change everything that someone says, that's still crazy. But that's one thing. But if you know that you're feeling going to change it because you actually do like it, why are you fishing for the compliments? So either way, it does show that you're not content with yourself, which then shows that level of weakness that you have.
Okay. There is scripture reference for this. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. It's Proverbs 27:2. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. Romans 2:29. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Bam! I love that one. Galatians 1:10. Yo, I like that one. That one is my favorite of the three. All right. They say that presenting yourself in ways that don't fit the occasion makes you look weak to the opposite sex. Now, as a quick description, they're saying like, okay, so if you normally walk around with your hat turned backwards, you might look, you know, okay. You know, nobody's paying attention. But if somebody's taking you home for the first time to meet their parents, you don't want to look like that. So now you look weak to the person. Vivian.
So it's changing yourself for approval?
I wouldn't necessarily say that here, but go ahead. You can take a stab at that one if that, you know, fits for you.
Yeah, I would say that is weakness because, again, it goes back to if you're content with what you're doing, then why are you changing it for the approval of somebody else? Again, that's a sign of insecurity. If I really believe that what I was doing was good, whether it was a physical thing or a, you know, a personal trait, then why would I have to change it to meet anybody or to be around anybody? So I would say yes, that's definitely a sign of weakness.
Okay, Shanti.
What came to mind when you said that was people who we, again, as they say in the streets, be doing the most. So, for example, if a guy is saying to me, okay, we're going to go, you know, it's late. Oh, you know what? I'm hungry. Let's go grab some wings at Applebee's. Okay, cool. But then now I go and I put on some heels, a tight dress, as if I'm going to a steakhouse in the early evening. It's like, all right, listen, we just going to grab some chicken real quick. We ain't doing all of that. And it's showing a level of weakness because it's like, who you feel like you have to impress? You have to, your mentality has to fit the occasion. If your mentality is not fitting the occasion and you're always feeling like you have to show up and show out for everything, that's how your outer appearance is going to appear. You don't have to put heels on to go to the supermarket. You're going to the supermarket. That's it. And other people see that. Other people pick up on it. So it definitely shows that level of weakness in you that you just always feel like you have to appeal to people in this way, even when it doesn't fit. Like, it's not the time and the place for that.
Okay. The two scriptures they give here, to me, that would only confuse things. So I'm not going to give those scriptures. All right, one more before Vivian has to clock out. Not getting the job done. They say not getting the job done makes you look weak to the opposite sex. Vivian, what you got before you check out?
I would say yes. It's definitely a sign of weakness because it can be procrastination. It could be laziness. It could be any of those things. And that, to me, is weakness because you're not strong enough to fight off that spirit of laziness and procrastination. So you just don't finish what you started or you don't get the job done. You're not a person of your word. To me, those are all signs of weakness. So I would agree.
All righty. Shanti.
Yes, when you can't do, especially when you initiate the job, it's like, all right, well, you said you were going to do this, or you offered to do this, and now you fall, because again, your motives in saying you're going to do this or offering was to try to show the strength that you don't have. And a strong person is not afraid in admitting the areas that they're weak in. So now, if unfortunately you fail at getting the task done, now your weaknesses, you're spilled all over the place. Instead of you just being, if I asked you, can you do this? And you're like, you know what? No, for whatever reason. That shows a level of strength. If you say yes just because you want to appear strong, your weaknesses are going to spill out even more.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, Vivian, for hanging out with us this morning. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. Thank you. All right, Shanti. Do you have a pray for them today?
No, I do not, actually.
Okay. Well, we do. We actually make.
Okay.
So we're not gonna pray for the entertainers today. Let's we talked about several different stories. We talked about, you know, the woman who lost her life in the Bronx to the daughter who had a mental illness issue. Mm-hmm. Now, we talking about mental illness here, for real, you know. You know, the story is where the cousin is telling the story that, you know, she lost a child. And ever since she lost the child, she's really been in a bad headspace, if you will. They say she's been saying she hears voices. They say that she's been talking like a man. This is the stuff that, this is the stuff that she's been experiencing since she lost the baby. It doesn't say how she lost her child, but, you know, it does say that there's been a serious breakdown. And you know you have to have a serious breakdown when you kill your mother with a pot. And, you know, this is, this only indicates that there was something going on before. You probably did not have a mental break, you know, when this particular incident happened. This probably happened and it took you down, you know, the road even worse. What were you going to say?
I'm sorry. And I was going to say, when you were first telling the story and even with you reiterating it now, I was like, people keep, like, brushing off the fact that spirits are real and how we can open the door, especially if you do not possess the Holy Spirit. And the devil cannot make you do anything in that aspect. The level of influence that he has, though, and we read biblically, like Pastor Steph, God has given me the verses to give during one of the switch tips recently. He gave you the verse to give when you had a speaking engagement a few weeks ago about how the spirits will enter your body, and when they leave and they come back and they find your body cleaned out, they will bring seven spirits worse than itself, and they will come and dwell in you. This stuff is real. And when you're doing things to open the door for the enemy to play even more on your psyche, on your movements, on this, stuff like what you watch, what you listen to, smoking weed, drinking, having sex, all of these things just open the door for him to play games with you more and more. Because for you to kill your mother and then call the cops and tell them, I killed my mother. It is like, this stuff is real. And people keep thinking it's a game. They think they can do whatever, say whatever, think whatever, and these things won't affect them. And more in the news, we're hearing how people are losing their minds because they're leaving, instead of surrendering to God and asking God to help you have a lot more control over your sanity through him, nobody wants God, and they're giving their minds to the other side, whether you want to agree that that's what you're doing or not. And this is the result God is allowing us to see, even the believers. He's allowing everyone to see. This is what happens when you don't want me to have a hold of your mind. This is the result.
You know, the scripture tells us that ignoring God leads to a downward spiral. And, another version says that God says, I'll lead you to a reprobate mind. You know, when you don't want to do what God says, this is biblical. This is not Pastor Steph. This is not Shanti. We're just relaying what the Bible tells us. When you don't want to do what God says, and the problem is for those who know it is to sin, if you know it's wrong, then God is holding you accountable to this. You know, he says, when you ignore me and I leave you alone, and let's talk about that for a minute. He says, I'm not cursing you. I'm not causing things to happen. He says, if I just leave you alone, what the Bible tells us, because I ain't got to touch your mind. If I just leave you alone, your life will go straight downhill. Because what we don't realize is God is the only thing, only one holding it together. He is the one that's holding us together. We want to dote on the fact that we're doing so well, and here it is right between the three of us. We had a lack of agreement that this is psychotic versus weakness. Either way, you jacked up. No matter whether you want to call it psychotic or whether you're going to call it weakness, either way, for you to hear that your man wants to buy guns, but he can't, and you want to participate in this Bonnie and Clyde business, or you just, you know, which makes it psychotic to Vivian, or whether it's weakness to Shanti Sanai that says, well, you know what, you just wanted to buy because you just, you know, he asked you to. So therefore, yo, you weak. Either way, God is saying you can't afford for me to let go at any given moment. Because man can't even determine what you really and who you really are. Just from us looking at the situation, we can't determine whether you're psychotic, whether you're weak, or another word that maybe a third, fourth, fifth, and tenth person wants to throw into the kitty. That you are going to be so messed up that people can't even determine what you are. Now, imagine you going to court on this same theory. Half the people think you psychotic and got a mental illness, and the other half think you just simply weak. Either way, you going to jail. Either way, because they really don't give people who need mental health. They just throw you up in the jail and you just make it out the best way you can. So right. God forbid you need some real mental assistance, you messed up. So God is saying, listen, you need to hang on to me. I'm your source of even thinking straight. That's how detailed it is. We can't even think on our own and maintain a decent level of living unless God is there with us. That's what he says. He says, you know what? Y'all ignore me. I'm just going to let you go. And by me letting go, you're going to be all over the place. Whether you buying guns for somebody, whether you hitting somebody with a pot over their head and killing them, and calling. You know, look at the guy we talked about on Monday, who his son was disabled, and he just couldn't do it no more. And he called the 911 for help. He called 911 for help, and ended up they asking them to escort him and his son to the hospital. They sitting up in the ER. The father pulls out a gun, kills the son, and kills himself. This is the way the world is. You know, so you've got issues of real mental illness, and you've got issues of, you know what, you just ain't thinking straight.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, this is the world we're living in, and this is why we're so messed up, because God is letting go. Too many people are saying no thank you. And he's not going to force himself in any lives. That's it.
And I'm
we've got the whole
pastor.
Sorry.
But to back up what you were saying, I'm seeing also with people who are deliberately, you know, it's one thing to hear of God, hear with, you know, like just in passing. And nowadays it's not just in passing, but like indirectly. And I'm seeing now with the people who God is making it clear to them, I want you. I want your life. I want to save you. And they're saying, no, I'm even watching how they're going down, like you explained, the downward spiral, because now this is deliberate. Now you really understand that you're saying no to him. And then you're wondering why you're cuckoo, whatever cuckoo means to you. You know, whatever, because cuckoo is different for everyone. Whatever cuckoo means for you, I'm watching how, and then, like, we'll be in conversation again, and they're talking, and I'm sitting saying to myself, if you're not making this connection, God has made it very clear that he wants you. If someone's speaking that you should be perfect, if someone's speaking that you still won't be struggling with some stuff, absolutely not, because no one has that life. But you're deliberately fighting against it, and you're doing everything to go around just saying, you know what, God, all right, yes, just teach me how to do this. And you're wondering why you're losing it in every part of your life. It's slowly or quickly just crumbling, and it's scary. And I keep telling people, I can't afford to get any slower. God has already showed me my level of slowness. I can't afford to get any slower than I am. So y'all want to keep playing these games with y'all life, that's y'all business. But I, your transparency moment, he has shown me the level of slowness that I am on. And the only reason why, and I keep telling people, the only difference that is made between those who have committed the crime and those who haven't, everybody have those same thoughts. Those same thoughts of killing somebody, stabbing somebody, putting poison somebody for whatever. If you're saying you don't, you're lying. Everybody has those same type of thoughts somehow. The only difference is God chose, like you said, to keep his hand on your mind. And for whatever reason, they did not have that covering. And they allowed their thoughts to help them complete the task. That's the only difference. We are not better than them.
You know, that you actually just said a mouthful, to be honest with you. And I'm going to take it from another angle. You know, we're talking about God just letting go. And, you know, when you reject him, because that's pretty much what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, the sad part is I don't think a lot of people even realize they're rejecting him. You know, you said, you know, people who, you know, when I say they don't realize they reject him, let me just make sure I help you understand what I'm talking about, those of you who are listening. You know you're rejecting God. You know God is knocking on your door, like Shanti said. I've had this conversation many times myself. You know God is knocking on your door, but you opt to do the opposite. You want to live. That's the terminology that's out. You know, you feel like if you, you know, if you give your life to the Lord, that's just like changing, you know, your whole concept of what living is. You're going to be under a bunch of restrictions, and you know, you just say no. And what I think is they understand they're rejecting God, but they don't understand the implication. They don't understand what it means to say no. They don't understand how God is calling on them now. You know, can you ask God into your life on your deathbed? Absolutely. However, you on your way out of here. What chance do you even get to enjoy the yes in your life? So, you know, you can play the Russian roulette game if you like, but understand God is receiving this as rejection. You know, don't make light of the fact that, you know, God, because you feel like you're still living it up, that this is good. You know, you need to stay in the fight. Those of us who have given our lives to the Lord, we need to stay in this fight to make sure you keep your right frame of mind, because God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. A lot of things we brush off, God is not brushing off. Too much is given, much is required. People think that they get the information and they have a choice to do what they want to do with the information. God says, no, if I gave it to you, I'm requiring you to respond accordingly. Now, how you respond is something different. And again, because people feel like they're living it up, they still well, they still healthy, they still got their job, they still got their family, you know, the big house is still there. They think that everything is okay. But in actuality, rejection is rejection. And you don't know at what point God is going to decide to move, and it won't be in your favor. So, you know, don't take the chance. Because you need to understand, like Shanti said, you know, she doesn't need to get any slower. I think of it on a different level, and then I'm going to, you know, pray. You know, my thing is I don't look at it all as I can't afford to get any slower. For me, I'm already dealing with an illness that can help to deteriorate your thoughts. You know, I just, again, I was up in the middle of the night reading more on this fibromyalgia, and I actually was looking at a lot of the different things. And I was like, oh, my God, I've been doing this thing for years, never associating it with the illness. And your mental state is really compromised by this illness. So I've got to stay in this fight, because if I don't and nature takes its normal course in my world, in my life, who knows? I could be hitting Chachis over the head with a pot, because Lord knows I want to hit somebody with a pot at times. But like Chachis said, the only thing that separates us is God. The only thing that says, you know what, right now I could pick up this pot and smash the major in the head because right now she's getting on my nerves, the Lord. Because it makes that small separation between that person who thought, I'm going to pick up this pot and hit so-and-so with it. You want to hit your husband in the head. And then you've got the other one who actually hits her husband in the head. It's only God that says, no, you're not going to hit him. Mm-hmm. Or you're not going to hit him that hard. Or you're not going to hit him today. You know, it's just that simple. It's that, the line is that fine. So in saying all of that, you know, we're going to do a pray for them for everybody, everybody who's listening, everybody who will hear this, you know, so that we really understand what's going on. Heavenly Father, God of all creation, we come before you and we say thank you. Thank you that we're not the them. Oh, thank you that you held it together for us. Again, thank you. When we should have gotten a no, we got the yes. Thank God for when you said yes, when you could have said no. We want to say thank you, God. We're reading about these people in the news. How many of us had a pot in our hand and we were not even diagnosed with somebody, you know, as someone mentally ill? But you kept everything in control. We had nothing to do with that because you said no. We did not. We say thank you, God, because you continually look beyond our faults to find our need. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because we deserve to be those people just from our rejection
of Christ. Just because we've been disobedient, just because we have warred against you, we deserve to be over there. But only because of your mercy and grace and you just keeping it all together, that the mortgage is still paid, that there's still food on the table, that we're still walking around with clothes on our back, that we still got shoes on our feet, that we still can understand simple things, that we can understand big things, the fact that we still have a job, despite the fact that we still have people who love us, despite the fact that we have people who still want to talk to us when the way we act, everybody should have walked off. But it's because of you and your son. Because he decided that he was going to go with your plan. He asks, take this cup from me, but yet, Lord, let your will be done. How many of us just want to let go? And that's all we can think of, is just letting go. The individual who, you know, killed these people and then turned the gun on himself. And now she's fighting a fight. He's gone. He convinced her to make a move. He's now gone and she's fighting the fight. The other people are lost without family members, possible breadwinners. We just thank you, God, because this is not our story. In any shape, form, or fashion, the little stuff that has happened to us because of our obedience, or the little stuff that has gone on because we shouldn't have done something, just a little, that's that one little move we made that changed the entire trajectory of where the situation went or where we are right now, just that one little false move, one false move is all we need to take the whole building down. We thank you for holding it together. It could have been much worse than what it is, no matter what we're complaining about. It could have been much worse than it is. But God, thank you so much. Saying thank you, God, is just so small. Thank you, God, seems like it's so insignificant. Thanking you, God, just you're just a great big wonder. You're amazing to us. And when we say things, it's just so small. It's just so small. So God, we pray that it won't be lip service anymore. That we'll just stop saying I thank God and I give God thanks, but that we live. We truly live the thanks. We truly take the time that you give us to serve you, that every breath we have dedicated it to serving you, that every dollar we have will go towards the things that you want, not the way we want, not the twisted way we think, not the trivial things we want to buy, not the way we want to function, because we want to see things happen. We want to make it happen because we may want to live like others, because we have our desires in the wrong place. But opposed to being good stewards over everything you have entrusted us with, we're doing it our own way. We ask you, God, to just be the GPS in our lives, that we would position ourselves so that we can do what we need to do to get the blessing and to get the direction that you want for our lives. We will not move until you tell us to stop. We will not move haphazardly. We will not function in our own way. But we will definitely look to your will and your way for our life. That long gone those days that you have washed that completely away, and we completely surrender ourselves to you right now, that today would be a day, this moment would be the moment that we've decided to do it the way you say do it. We're not going to hope. We're not just going to do, but we're going to actually do what you say.
We give you the glory and the honor for just waiting on us. Oh, goodness gracious. You just waited on us. You're waiting on us right now to get it right. Thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us and keeping your promise and being a man of your word. Thank you, Lord. These are so many things we pray today. This is our pray for them. We're praying for us as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, Shanti. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you, too.
Thank you. You know, every day I get up, I marvel at God. Again, like I said, I was up in the middle of the night. I was, because there was just so many things that go through my head. I'm like, oh my gosh, how could I even think that my brain ain't functioning? It is never left without a thought. And the more God shows me, the more I think. And you know, I'm always talking to Him, and I'm always asking Him to help direct my thoughts. I pray that I always stay with Him, that I'm not someplace else. I spend enough of my life doing that. I've spent enough of my life moving as the way I want to move, and I'm gonna wait till God say no, wait till God say stop. No, that doesn't work. Too long doing it my way. Too long not taking advice. Too long, and you know, too long just spending too much time. And I'm sorry, at 57, I'm done with that. I'm done with it. And again, you know, that's where you hear all the passion from, because I got to get this thing right. And I'm up in the middle of the night, and I'm reading about this fibromyalgia, and I'm reading how just I should be twisting. I'm like, every time I read, they find out new stuff. They're putting new stuff in these articles, and I'm like, oh, that's me. But yet, I'm not where they say the average person is. And I just shouted to the mountaintop that Jesus saves. I shouted to the mountaintop that God is an amazing God. Because I don't know where I could be. I don't know where I would be if it weren't for Jesus. I don't know. I have no idea. I just got to give God thanks that I am where I am. And for every sane thought I have, and God has me speaking to so many, but they don't realize, you all don't realize how blessed you are to hear a sane word from Stephanie, but I do, and that's what I'm going to live off of. I give God thanks. Everything He gives me that's sane, I'm going with. I don't care who else goes with it and who else doesn't. All I know is I'm marching to the beat of God's drum. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Please do not miss the opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen your relationship in the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Please, Gospel Life, join us tonight on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, for our My Two Cents segment as we review comedy series. Join us. See what's going on. Give us your thought. Give us your review. We look forward to spending some time with you. Until then, I love you.